Can you all hear me fairly well?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to be able to come and sit down or just be able to look at your word again, looking at some of the things that you've left for us to think about, things that your Son, Jesus Christ, has said that would come to pass. I'm asking the Heavenly Father that you will help us, dear God, to take hold of the words that's been left in the Holy Scriptures, Heavenly Father, so that we will understand that we must really see that time is of the essence and that we don't have time to just live our lives any kind of way. I'm asking, dear God, that you will give us the strength to obey your word and to grow. I'm asking, dear Lord, that you will help me with these scriptures tonight as I hope to speak on a portion of this text that you've left for us. I ask that you give us the strength that we need to continue on in this way. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm only going to be doing a few verses. This text is quite, in my opinion, complex. So I'm going to be looking primarily at verses 20 through 28. And I will be talking a little bit about some of the verses that Tim went over the other night. And the title that I would like to give for tonight is Jesus' Words Are True. Jesus' words are true. Now, I was thinking about the title, I think, that Tim gave the other night was something to the effect that all things are not as they seem. And so going on into this text, I'm hoping if I can to kind of bring some of that into looking at how this text still continues on from what we were looking at the other night. The other night, Tim was speaking, and one of the verses that he read was from Luke, the 21st chapter, in the 6th verse, or actually Anne may have read it. And I think it goes very well into what we're looking at. So I'm going to read that verse from Luke, the 21st chapter, in the 6th verse. Before going into it, I want to remember that Jesus had been talking, and there were some people at the temple, and they were talking about how magnificent it was and talking about some of the marble columns or towers that went up. And as I was reading, it said that some of these towers were about 60 feet or so up in the air. They were huge and round and just so pristine and so magnificent, and that it had some gold or ornamentation around it, and it was just extremely delicate and fine and so forth. And so there were some of the people who were just making comments about it and just how great that was. And it just seemed to be the focus was on that than more than the things of God or the things that Jesus had said. And Jesus was telling them about how that temple, there would not be one stone that would be left standing or that would not be overthrown. And for the Jews, that was just something that would just totally seem odd to them, or like this is an impossibility. This magnificent edifice that's been standing here for so long that Solomon built, it's almost like sacrilege for you to say such a thing about this temple, and who are you to say it? Well, Jesus had made that statement and had begun to talk about the end time. So I want to read this 6th verse here from that particular portion of scripture. This is what Jesus is saying. In the 6th verse, it says, where Jesus was speaking to them, it says, "As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And they asked him, saying, "Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass?" And so Jesus had begun a discussion or talking to them about different things that was going to take place. Tim was talking about how they had been putting their focus on the way things seemed to be, the structures and everything in place, but the heart of man was not right. Those not the disciples, but those Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth, they had their focus placed on the wrong things. And so Jesus is beginning to speak about these things. And so it went on down, and Jesus was telling them how there was going to be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and so forth. And the 14th verse, I think, is key for when I get into the verses that I want to look at. after Jesus is letting them know about certain things, destructions and things that would not be so pleasant happening to them in the land of Jerusalem or Palestine, this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. Listen, it says, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. And when he was telling them this, it's like, though all these things are going to take place, you need to be able to trust in what my word is about the future. You need to be so wrapped up and so entangled with my truth and trusting me in that I will take care of you, that you won't, let it overtake you, that it, you won't let it dismay you, but you will have enough strength because of the Holy Spirit and trusting my word and trusting this comforter that's going to come to you, that you will be able to receive this Holy Spirit that I'm going to give you as far as what you should say, not the Holy Spirit as it says in Acts, even though it's the same, but you will be able to understand what I'm giving you at that moment to say. Because it says, for I will give you a mouth of wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now I want to come to the 19th verse, because thinking about all of this calamity that's going to befall, Jesus is speaking about a temple that they would think wouldn't fall, and he says it's going to be overthrown. Then he says, don't worry, basically. Settle it in your heart to be resolved in me. And then in this 19th verse it says, in your patience possess ye your souls. You've got to be rooted and grounded in me. And those certain things are going to befall this land. Certain things are going to befall the Jewish nation because people have not listened. The Jews have not listened to what my father said. You're not listening to what I'm telling you right now, but for those of you, my disciples, and those who would hear a word from me, you've got to be patient. You've got to be able to endure. I think the word was hupomone. I might not be pronouncing it right. The ability to have the wisdom to go through these particular things that I'm telling you about because you trust me. You will be able to preserve life. You will be able to keep my words and not be changed or swayed because of the things that's going to happen. Interestingly enough, I want to kind of make a read a few verses where God himself had basically, through Moses, prophesied some of the things that we're reading about that Jesus is talking about. So I'm going to read a few verses, and I'm not sure exactly. This is the New Living Translation, and it comes from Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and I'm going to read a little bit starting at the 63rd verse. And God had told the people, the Hebrews, when he wanted them to, when they were going through the land and he was going to take them to Canaan, if you live a certain way, certain things are going to happen to you if you step outside of my will. But if you remain in my word as I am giving these to you through Moses, you will be able to inherit the land. You will be able to possess the land. I will take care of you. When it's time to fight or go up against your enemies, I will preserve you. I will do these things for you. But if you walk outside of my word, certain things are going to happen to you. And so when we look at this text tonight, we see that the very things that Moses had even given God to tell them, we see some of these things. Jesus is saying they're going to happen. Let's read some of this right here. This says, just as the Lord, this is from Deuteronomy 28 and 63. Just as the Lord has found great pleasure in causing you to prosper and multiply, the Lord will find pleasure in destroying you. In other words, if you don't keep his word, it's going to be his pleasure. It's going to be his will to exact judgment upon you. You will be torn from the land you are about to enter. You'll be torn from the land you're about to enter and occupy. For the Lord will scatter you among all nations and from one end of the earth to the other. You will worship foreign gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known. Gods made of wood and stone. There among those nations you will find no peace or place to rest. And the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. So we see even in what we refer to as the Old Testament, they were given a warning that if you don't keep my word, God is saying this, I will take you away from this land, Canaan or Palestine, as we know it, and you will suffer. You will suffer at my hand through other nations. Well, bringing it back to this, Jesus was prophesying, and he's telling them of some calamity which is to come. When we read these scriptures, there's sometimes misunderstanding or confusion, because it is kind of a complex text to embark upon. But sometimes what we want to remember is, when there's prophecy in the Bible, sometimes it has an immediate fulfillment, in that within a few more years from the time that the text was written on, when Jesus spoke this, there was going to be something that would take place in history that will fulfill what Jesus said. That's A.D. 70, when Titus came through with the Romans and was going to overtake Jerusalem. And then there's more to the prophecy, or there's even more meat or more weight to it when we look at it as far as the end times. You see, we're still living, and Jerusalem is still there. Christ is yet to come back to claim his own. Christ is yet to come back cracking the sky and the clouds and speaking with the powerful words of the sword to destroy those who have vaunted themselves up against him, or to say that they would just reject his eternal plan and his eternal word. So we see that there's going to be kind of several things that's happening here, part of which has happened, as some believe. So I want to pick up, and I'm going to read the 19th verse and go into the 20th verse and so forth, and try to speak to some of these scriptures. The 19th verse, it says again, and Jesus is speaking, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Tim was saying the other night that all things are as they seem. And so I believe Christ was trying to give them some comfort here. If you're going to serve me, you should know that I'm going to tell you the truth. There's some hard times coming, but you need to hold on to the things that I'm telling you. Saints, we today, we realize that there's even some hard times coming in this country which we live in. It looks like they're trying to take rights and more rights away. And we as Christians, we suffer because there's so many that seem to be against us. Jesus is giving them a message which had even greater impact for them. It says, and when ye see the 20th verse, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. What is this desolation of which he speaks? See, we're living in the land of Jerusalem and Galilee and Judea, the upper and southernmost parts, and it was supposed to be a place where they were to live and not have any problems, but they kept rejecting God's word. We even see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't want to hear a thing that Jesus said. And so because of the things that God had foreordained through the scriptures, it's like they're going to have to suffer from it. Jesus is saying, you're going to suffer. When this Roman army comes in and begins to encircle the city, Lord have mercy, it's going to be a problem. They're going to be coming, and they're coming to destroy you as a nation. They're coming to destroy you, and this is going to be the desolation of a land that was supposed to be yours. It's going to spew you out. That blessing that you had, that God wanted to give to you, he's going to take it away. It's going to be God's pleasure, because of the hardness of your heart, to reject you and push you out. Lord, have mercy. And when you shall see this, these armies coming around, then you should know that my words are coming to pass. Jesus is like, be wise. Listen to the next verse. The 21st verse says this. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter into, basically, the city. If you're in the city of Jerusalem, Jesus is like, it is going to be wise for you to look at the situation and still try to preserve yourself. This damnation is coming on you because of the hardness of your forefathers, because of the hardness that you continue to have. But if you can trust my word, he's talking to many people, the disciples, settle it in yourselves to be resolved that what I have said is true. These things are coming to pass. For those of you that's in the city, flee to the mountains. If you're in the countries, then you don't want to try to go into the city, because damnation and destruction is coming. This temple will be overthrown. You think it's magnificent? Well, my Father, God in heaven, he is going to keep his word. I speak what thus says my Father. For those of us today, Jesus Christ is going to come back. Though the temple had been destroyed and burned and the stones
toppled and everything, he kept his word, but there's a greater judgment is coming, that Jesus is going to come, and he's going to rid the world of the enemies, and he's going to rid this world of sin, and how will you and I be found? And I believe that we're together from the scripture, that we're to keep heart, but also to know that his word is sure. Jesus is prophesying, and part of this has already been fulfilled. Listen at what it says in the 22nd verse. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. There's been different prophecies that for instance, ones that I read that the city of Jerusalem or the area of Palestine, God would bring in destruction. It said the other nations will come in and mistreat you, to take you as slaves. The Bible said, even when we looked at Deuteronomy, that you're going to be in a land and you're going to serve other gods, gods that you haven't known, gods that's made of wood, gods that's made out of stone. So many of your ancestors wanted that, and now you're not even holding on to my word. These are the things that's going to come. My word is sure of Jesus Christ, and now I'm in the last week before they get ready to crucify me. I'm trying to let you know that there's certain things that's going to happen. You're going to have to remember so much that I'm telling you. You're going to have to be resolved. It's going to have to be settled in your heart that you will trust my word and obey me. But woe unto you that have not taken what I said to be true. Lord, have mercy. 23rd verse. But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck. In those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And I was reading a little bit, and I was looking at some of Josephus. He's got so much. I was like, wow, how could I even say some of this? But during the time, it was from 66 to AD 70, it talks about how the Romans came in, and it talks about, and we've kind of gone over some of this in some earlier chapters that we've gone through in the past. It talked about how it got so bad at one point that some of the people were needing food, and they turned to cannibalism because there was not even any food around. It talked about how mothers was taking food from the children. It talked about how people was running to their neighbor's house and snatching food out of their mouth. When I was reading about it, it said that 1,100,000 people were slain by the Romans, and that 97,000 people, I think I got that right, were deported to the other countries. Or Babylonia, I think. And it's like, whoa, Lord have mercy. Look at the things that Jesus is saying. Look at what God has said. And so these times are coming, but warn to them that are with child. And warn to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great, great distress. Famine in the land. You're being deported. People being killed left and right. And Jesus is telling them that this is going to happen, and those who would listen to him have to keep heart, settle it in your heart and your mind. Lord, have mercy. Great distress upon the land of Palestine or Jerusalem as these things happen. This is what it says in the next verse, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they shall be led away captive into all nations. This was never supposed to happen. Many things sometimes in our life, if we had just held on to the truth of God's word, would not have had to happen, and we would not have had to suffer different things. Jesus is telling them this. 1,100,000 people slain, Jews slain, and then taken away captive to other nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There's going to be a certain amount of time, and I think Daniel speaks to this, the 70 weeks or so forth, that, and I hope I'm right in making that statement, I think it talks about it in the 9th chapter, but there was going to be a certain amount of time that God was going to allow the destruction of mistreatment of the Jews. Actually, much of it is still taking place. You look at how Hitler treated the Jews. You look at how sometimes the Jews are treated, even referred to today, maliciously and so forth. Well, even though there's still things that's going on today and mistreatment of that, we want to understand that Jesus was speaking specifically of that time with AD 70, but he was also making reference to the fact that he was still going to come. So we can look at this as understanding that judgment was going to take place soon after the time that he was saying this. But also there's still more to come because history has not unfolded all the way. 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. One of the commentators I was looking at was talking about the waves being as if it were the Roman soldiers coming in ready to kill and so forth. But the verse made me think of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. And I want to read a little bit of that, but I believe that we could look at that as being both things, where the Roman soldiers went in and was destroying the people, but we look at it as a further or distant time, apocalyptic time, and we can see that. And so I'm turning to this here, 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to read from the tenth verse here. And this is what it says, and I'm still reading from the same version, New Living, I think, translation. This is what it says. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. And this is what it's talking about in 2 Peter. And so when we look at this right here, it's signs in the sun and in the moon. Now, when we look at that in 2 Peter, it sounds, and most people believe that I read about, it seems to think that that has something to do with maybe a nuclear disaster, with wars and so forth, and that may be true. It seems likely with all of the talks with nuclear capabilities from one country to another country to destroy or whatever, and so that may be it. God may decide to do it another way. So it seems that it's really touching both points in history, one fulfilled already and one which hasn't come. But listen at what Jesus says. He goes back to talking about men's heart failing them. I'll read the 21st and the 26th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress upon nations with perplexity. Wonder what meaneth all this and what's going on. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So if we were to look at it at the time for which he was speaking to these people, the things that would be happening to Jerusalem when it would seem all this calamity and destruction was coming on them, what's going on and for fear of heart? Well, I think that's going to happen again one of these days, whether we're living or not. Well, if we're living, we need to hold on and not be swayed. So when these things come upon the time in distant future, if we happen to be living, will we let go of God's hand? Will we continue on in his word, or will we begin to really just let go and decide that the government makes all the rules for us and we'll abide by them? Will we accept things that are contrary to God's word? We're going to have to be settled. We're going to have to understand that we should not let anything separate us from the love of God. We're to understand that if we're in Jesus and he's in us, then we're in God the Father, and he's going to take care of us. In the earlier verses, it said that there would not be a hair of their heads that would perish. What does that mean? Jesus had already told them you might be delivered up. He will preserve the body and soul, but the body must die. But when it's risen again, Lord have mercy, it'll be a glorious body. But we're not to fear the one who can destroy just this body. Listen at the 27th verse. It says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory, and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Revelation kind of gives us a little bit of this right here, where it says about the cloud, where it says that the sun is going to come in a cloud with great glory. So I'm going to read a little bit from just Revelation, the 1st chapter and the 7th verse. Listen at what it says right here. "Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him," speaking of Jesus Christ, our Savior, "and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." Jesus is coming back, and he's going to wreak havoc upon a sinful world, but he's coming, and he's coming back victoriously. So though all of these things may happen, some of it happened already and some which has not happened yet, Lord, have mercy. If we're living around that time, during that time, we must hold on to God's word and the things that he has promised. We must see the fulfillment of what Jesus Christ is saying right here, because his words are sure. Things may look one way, looking as if we have no hope. But if we trust in God, though it may look like that, we can have assurance that we have life in Jesus Christ. We must hold on and not let our hearts fail. These things happen, and he was telling them this because of their ancestors' hard heart. It's going to happen when he comes back again for those who have rejected the message that Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and that no man will come, see, be in the presence of the Father except through him. Jesus prophesying, saying that you got to be diligent. Jesus was telling them, you must take hold of my word. This is what true life is. It's not about letting your mind go on the things of the world, the riches and acquiring money and being able to just even talk about scripture. The Pharisees talked about scripture. No, but he's coming back in power and great glory. How will we be found? Will we die in his strength and be risen in his strength? Will we die without his power and be risen damned? Lord, give us strength. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He was prophesying of a time that was to come. And when you begin to hear that he had talked about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places, famines, pestilence, and so forth, and great signs in the heaven, and he said that would be the beginning of the problems of the world and the tribulation or the end times. He said, but you can't be shaken. No one will know when I come, the day or the hour. I don't know it, but it's in the Father's hand and his decision as to when this will be. But will we continue to trust in God? Now, he was telling this to a people who had many of them, that is, rejected him before his death. And it was just like, I've got more things to let you know about. See who I am. Know who I am. And as the things begin to change in this world for worse for Jerusalem, still need to hold on to my word. That book of Hebrews, it's written for people who wanted to give up. It's written to let them remember who Jesus Christ was and is. There are things happening right now in this country, the United States. There are things happening right now in this world that will make men want to throw up their hands if they've been listening to the word of God and not holding on to it, not really basking in it, not really nourishing from the power, from the nutrients therein. We might get faint, but if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength, the Bible says, is small. We have to realize that the one that can destroy the body and the soul has the power to preserve the body and the soul and spirit. So we want our hearts and our minds to be wrapped up and anchored in him, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, holding on to his word, because there's a time that's coming on this world, and it's the stage has been set, and things continue to go on just as the word of God said. So the coming of the Son of Man, that time has, the second coming has yet to come. We need to be wrapped up in the word of God and understand that his word is true and it will come to pass. Though things may seem one way, the calamity and destruction, we must understand that if our life is anchored in Jesus Christ, that's not the end for us. He's going to give us a new glorified body. This body was sown in weakness, but it'll be raised in power. So I'm going to stop right here. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us a chance to go through your holy word tonight, asking that you again, that you give us strength, not just to sit down and think about it a little bit, but that this, your word will resonate in our hearts and mind and compel us
to live for you, to compel us to think righteously for you, to compel us to speak for you, Lord. Just give us the strength that we need, Heavenly Father. We know you told us if a man lacked wisdom, that you would not withhold it from us. You upbraid not. So we ask you for wisdom and we ask you for strength to comply and to yield to your holy word. I ask these